From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made in Washington State at 12:01 a.m. this morning. A new cap on food delivery fees took effect by order of Washington Governor Jay Inslee. He's targeting popular apps like Grubhub or Uber Eats or DoorDash. Governor Inslee said last week that restaurants are seriously hurting because they are closed for indoor dining until at least December 14th in that state. As a result, they're relying on takeout orders, and when food delivery apps cut into their margins, the impact is severe. Inslee said, quote, capping the delivery commission fees on delivery or pickup orders while restaurants are unable to provide unrestricted dine-in service will ease the economic hardship for these essential service providers, end quote. And this should all sound familiar. Rochester is now in an orange zone, some outlying areas in an orange zone. That means in those areas, we're seeing restaurants also forced to close for indoor dining. And so just like Washington State did, local legislators are working to pass a local cap on food delivery fees. Monroe County legislator Rachel Barnhart announced legislation that would cap how much third-party vendors like the ones we've been talking about can charge businesses. Under the measure, delivery fees would be limited to 15% and fees associated with customers using their apps for takeout services to 5%. The companies would also be prohibited from garnishing drivers' wages to make up any difference in profit. This is becoming a trend across the country. Customers start using apps like Grubhub more often during the pandemic, as you can understand. Restaurants sign up hoping to stay on customers' radars, and then restaurants find out how much profit they're losing. Meanwhile, customers often don't know. We've been asking our followers on social media today, if you use Grubhub, if you use these services, do you know what the fees are? Do you know how they cut into restaurant revenue? And a lot of people are saying, I use them and I have no idea. Well, for some deliveries, 30% of the bill goes to food delivery apps, not the restaurants. And restaurant owners are really hurting over this. So cities have been passing their own caps on delivery fees, but so far only New Jersey and now Washington have done so at the state level. DoorDash released a statement saying they don't want to hurt restaurants, but they're concerned that capping fees could hurt their delivery drivers and workers. Local restaurants are facing a grim situation now. This week, we've heard from many workers and owners who fear that their doors could never reopen for indoor dining. Let's talk about all of this. Our guests this hour include Rachel Barnhart, a Monroe County legislator. Thanks for being back with us, Rachel.
Thank you for talking about this issue, Evan.
Jeff Scott is the owner of Kano's Greek Restaurant. Jeff, welcome. Thanks for making time.
Thanks for letting me in.
And Mike Kite is a former Grubhub driver who's with us now. Hi, Mike. Thanks for being back with us.
You bet.
I want to start with you, Rachel, just for some of what you've been... I kind of want to do it like this, because I think we need an explanation for how this works, what we've been learning about this. We're going to get into the politics of it, because it's not as simple as saying, hey, we threw up some legislation and it's going to pass, et cetera. I know Republicans have opposed it, and I'll read their statement coming up. But before we even get into the politics of it, and before we get to Jeff and Mike's perspective, tell me why, as a legislator, this got onto your radar and how you have been learning about it.
Sure. About a month ago, I believe, or maybe even less than that, time seems to be flying, we were on your program talking about Monroe County's effort to provide grants to small businesses, including restaurants. It was through that effort that I learned about these high fees, and that when we're talking to restaurants about how we can help them, not only individual restaurants, but even tourism associations, local groups trying to get people to visit us, were very concerned about restaurants' ability to survive. They're such a vital part of our economy. We have a thriving independent restaurant scene, and it became clear that this is a real problem. I really appreciate you summarizing what this legislation would do. Have to emphasize, it would be temporary. We are facing a severe public health and economic crisis right now, and this is a way that we can provide some immediate relief. We have to understand here that this is a disruptive technology. You know, when Uber and Lyft came on the scene, people stopped calling yellow cabs, and they started ordering rides in a different way. Well, people are now ordering food in a different way. Uber Eats, Grubhub, and DoorDash are what we call big tech companies. They have millions and millions and billions of dollars, and they spend that money to change our habits. They have changed our habits. People are now reliant on these apps to order food. And as you noted, the fees are not transparent. And when I was thinking about how to go about this, I thought about putting a disclosure requirement. You know, maybe this is how we get from point A to point B, make them disclose their fees. But I didn't think that that would be something that would have the immediate impact that we need right now. Restaurants are staring over the edge of a cliff, and people are relying on takeout and delivery. Every single restaurant in my district has had to close their indoor dining rooms because we are an orange zone. And this is something that could provide immediate relief.
I know every margin, I mean, every inch of a margin matters for restaurants right now. Rachel, what are you hearing this week from restaurant owners and workers who are in the orange zone? I mean, I think there's a little bit of a disconnect. The Dow's over 30,000, sort of a gee whiz when you look at the actual reality of workers and business owners right now. And if you could summarize what you've been hearing from those in the restaurant industry about how concerned they are about ever getting a chance to reopen.
Well, I think, you know, the governor warned us, right? I mean, he warned us that we were going to do this microcluster strategy. I support the microcluster strategy. I support not shutting everything down, not going to a mass shutdown. We know a lot more than we did in March about how the virus spreads and the damage that shutdowns can cause. We knew that we were headed this way. And restaurants were prepared, and this gives them some clarity about what they need to do. But we cannot emphasize enough how devastating this is to workers and to owners, and many restaurants simply will never reopen.
That's why we've been talking this week about the fact that on the federal level, it's remarkable that we still haven't seen movement towards some kind of support for these industries that are told you cannot be open or you cannot be open as you were. And maybe that's coming. Maybe it'll come too late. Who knows? But what we're talking about is local legislation or state legislation, as we saw in Washington State or New Jersey, aimed at making sure every little inch of the margins is there for restaurants and these kind of establishments to sort of hang in there. That's why we're talking about food delivery. Let me read what DoorDash says about this. This is a statement from DoorDash to the legislation in Washington State, but this really applies to, you would assume this applies to Monroe County, New Jersey, anywhere that's is looking at this. Quote, "We understand the challenges that restaurants are facing and the difficult decisions that lawmakers must make as we work to stop the spread of COVID-19 and support our local communities. We remain concerned that pricing regulations like this one could result in higher costs for customers, which could lead to fewer orders for local restaurants and fewer earning opportunities for Dashers." End quote. Does that move you, Legislator Barnhart?
Well, you know, I haven't spoken to DoorDash, but I did speak to Grubhub. And when I talked to Grubhub, I asked them for evidence that restaurants would see restaurants in cities with caps see reduced service, reduced orders. They could not provide me any. They gave me a fact sheet that had unnamed cities with with these, you know, large estimates. You know, get me an independent study, get me some real data with names on it, and then we can talk about the impact that this would have. You know, there are only a few players in the market, okay? And restaurants face this choice. They either play the game of these apps or they risk not getting found by customers. So they pay these high fees or they risk having no orders because, again, this is how people are ordering food right now. And because there are so few players, they don't have the ability to negotiate the fees. So every restaurant I spoke to, except for one, said it's 30%. The chains have more latitude to negotiate. I did have one restaurant say they were able to get down to 28%. That's the best they could do.
Those numbers are much higher, and we're seeing that on our Twitter feed. Rusty says, "I did not know how the fees take away revenue from restaurants. Guess I got to look more into this." Nicole says, "I did know, and that's why I don't use these services. When we get takeout, we go do curbside." Ingrid says, "This is all good to know. Thank you for giving us this information." A lot more coming in like this, and in a moment I'll ask Jeff and Mike for their perspectives. But Rachel, one more point on this. We, of course, invited Republicans from the legislature to join us. What I want you to do is two things. I want you to update us, first of all, on where things stand in the legislation, and then I will read a statement from the Republican Majority Leader Steve Brew, who said he could not join us on the program today but sent a statement. Where is the legislation locally on this that you've proposed?
Sure. I just do want to add that the restaurant associations do support this legislation. So, I mean, this idea that legislation like this hurts restaurants, if it was so terrible, we would know already in all the cities that have these caps, right? I mean, we would know. Restaurants would say, please don't extend the caps like they did in New York City. So this legislation was introduced more than 2 weeks ago. And I sent all of the legislators sort of a summary, hey, kind of like in a talking point style, you know, here's the arguments for it, here's the arguments against it, here's what this thing would do, and, you know, I'm happy to set up a meeting with restaurants so we can talk about it. Well, I never heard from anybody at all. I went into the agenda charter meeting, which is the committee that had to consider this legislation and move it out of committee, went into it Monday without really knowing what was going to happen. And what happened was, and anyone can watch it on the video, the majority leader read a statement, which frankly could have been drafted by DoorDash or Grubhub, used all of their talking points, and just said, hey, I want to work with you to make this legislation better and to help restaurants. But, you know, actions do speak louder than words. You know, I mean, I don't know what the path is forward. I think they tabled the legislation, which I'm glad, right? So it's still alive. But the process that we have for passing legislation, it's extensive. It takes time. And this is a real setback. And we lost 2 weeks to really work on something. And I don't know what to think about how we can move forward. And I certainly will be reaching out to see if there's a way that we can come to a compromise.
Was there any active debate about this issue?
No, and I think that was the really hard thing. You know, I showed up, I'm not on the agenda charter committee. I showed up to the meeting to talk about the bill and expecting a lively discussion. My two Democratic colleagues were also expecting that discussion. And instead, I was able to kind of make my case. And then the majority leader made his case. And then said, okay, move to table. And the vote was 3-2 to table. And there was no debate at all. So that's why I'm a little skeptical about the path forward here. But I'm hoping that, you know, this kind of discussion can perhaps move the needle.
Here's a statement to WXXI News from Republican Majority Leader Steve Brew regarding this legislation. Quote, perhaps Legislator Barnhart attended a different meeting than the rest of the agenda charter committee on Monday. Both Legislator Barnhart and I participated in discussion on this legislation, both sharing our research and perspective on its potential impacts, the very definition of debate. As I stated in Monday night's committee meeting, this legislation was tabled with intentions to further evaluate its impacts and collaborate with all involved stakeholders to reach a common ground win-win-win scenario for customers, restaurants, and third-party delivery services alike. If Legislator Barnhart feels so strongly about enacting this legislation, she should thank the committee for tabling it, as she can use this time to correct the fatally flawed text in the proposal, which would have prevented its enactment and made it null and void. I will continue to stand alongside our local small business owners and look forward to working with all stakeholders to alleviate concerns, correct flaws, and find a solution that all can agree upon, end quote. What do you make of that, Rachel?
Well, as I said, I hope that's true, and I look forward to having that discussion. I would point out that the legislation I introduced is almost the exact same thing as Westchester County just passed that is in effect in other places. So I think there's a debate to be had. I think this is complicated. I am absolutely not sitting here telling you that my way is the only way. But I do think these fees are a problem. And there's no transparency. They're gouging restaurants. And these companies, what they're doing is they're spending all this money to build up their customer list, to change your habits, to get you to use their apps. And then they're merging with each other because they're all losing money. And they're expecting all of us to absorb those losses. You know, this disruptive technology will take some time for the economics to work itself out. And like all disruptive technologies, such as Uber and Lyft, you are going to see government come in and take a hard look at their practices. We're going to see that here, too. The problem is we're in an emergency. We don't have time for that process to shake itself out. We have restaurants that are about to die. They will never reopen again. Many of them are in my district. So, you know, we have to come to the table and work something out. And we need to do that today.
Well, I'm going to let Penny go answer the door for you. let me get Jeff and Mike on this.
Can't get through a call without that happening.
That's pandemic life. That's no problem at all. Kids, dogs, whatever. Jeff is the owner of Kano's Greek Restaurant. Jeff, let me ask you to kind of describe the impact of these delivery apps and how you see the landscape right now. Go ahead.
Well, just to make it clear, Kainos itself right now does not use the third-party apps just for the experience that we had with all three of them when the pandemic first started. Things got worse then. But I do have two virtual kitchens that are in Kainos that we have to rely on them because they're virtual. But the impact on there, like we gave, I gave paperwork to Rachel. My March statement of 2020, just from, let's say, Grubhub, I made $1,049. Good. It helps. Then you look at what they deduct. Marketing fees, miscellaneous fees. So I asked about the miscellaneous fees. It was for masks. I'm not going to pay for the person's mask. And processing fees and other delivery fees on top of that. Then you have minuses. Minuses on there means, oh, the customer said the food was cold. Well, I'm not blaming the driver all the time, but if it's a driver, why do we have to eat it? So when you work it all down of all the deductions, I was left with $369 or $379 out of $1,040. That's a lot of money. We work on some of the smallest margins is in food. It's 30% markup on certain items. Other items, you can't do that. You price yourself out. But when you start taking 30% of your food from your delivery drivers, or your delivery apps, where's your profit? Why make it? It gets to a point it's not worth to do it. So you try to work on quantity, get in as many deliveries as possible. That takes marketing. Then they want you to pay for marketing. Then it's another gouge out of your profit. So but when you get done, you're left with pennies.
So you're not using these delivery apps then, Jeff?
I'm using them for my two other virtual restaurants that are located inside Kainos. We have Greek Beak Fried Chicken, and we also have Leaning Tower of Pita. Those are ours that we do in our kitchen, but you can't come and pick them up. It has to be done by a third-party app. So I'm still feeling the pain.
I think people ought to be ordering Leaning Tower of Pita just for the pun. I'm a big fan. Jeff, is it to the point where you think it's as simple as if customers know how it impacts you, more customers will be willing to say, hey, no problem. Don't let's not do a delivery app. We'll just come pick it up. Is that what you want people to do? Just come pick it up.
That's what happened with Kainos. When we showed them, and it's the sad thing is, let's say we take an average dish here, a saute item for Kainos. Let's say it's $25. Because of how much they charge you, the third-party apps, you have to increase your price. Well, I have one customer said, well, how come I'm paying $35 for that dish, but on your website, it shows $25? I says, because I'm getting hit hard with the third-party apps. And when I got my check for March, that's the time I decided I can't do this. My food here at Kainos is high end. A lot of it's imported from Greece. You can't just give it away. So I went to the expense and I bought my own delivery van. And we deliver our own food. Because when you add it up, let's say I made $3,000 that month from 1,000 from each app. Okay. And they all take about the same amount of fees out of you. So I'm only left with not even 1,000 out of 3,000. The cost of my delivery van cost me $469 a month. And I already pay employees here.
What are you left with, Jeff?
Now since I do my own for Kainos itself, I'm left with more.
Yeah.
Because if we just took that as an example, you're not left with anything with your third party apps.
But Jeff, I'm hearing that some restaurant owners, some restaurants are feeling pressure from customers who say, hey, we want to order from you, but we want to do it through Grubhub. You got to be on Grubhub. Do you feel like there's pressure on the industry to be on Grubhub?
There is. Like my two virtuals, yes, there is. They said, well, we want it to be easy. And what's the easiest thing? An app on your phone. There's not one person who doesn't have an app on their phone. So they want convenience. They want fat. They don't really want to be talking to anybody. You just push a button and pay. For Canos, we set up our own way. So I don't have to deal with the third-party apps or an app. They can go click on their phone right to my website, push order online. It's done. Either it's pickup or delivery. But is there pressure from them? From everybody, they don't know. They just push a button because they want the food. I've used the third-party apps, too. Oh, you don't feel good. You don't want to drive. I want a pizza. So and sometimes instead of calling the pizzeria, you just push the Grubhub or DoorDash, and you get it there. But if you look at the price increases that we have to add on things, like I mentioned, a $25 item is now $35. Well, they're going to take 30% no matter what. So at least you're trying to get something back. But then on the other hand, who's paying for it? The customer. So it's the customer and the restaurant are hurting because of the third-party apps.
All right, so last point to stress to you, and by the way, I'm seeing your colleagues. Here's Evie Fanning, the owner of Cheshire, who says, it's the customers in our communities that are now stepping up to keep us afloat, and it's disheartening to see opportunists taking advantage of them and of us. Call us. We will do curbside. Hell, I'll bring it to your house myself.
That's,
I mean, that's
same thing. We don't mind.
Yeah,
I mean, we've gone.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Rachel.
I was going to say, so many people are responding by saying, just call the restaurants, go pick up the food, stop being lazy. And I think, listen, there's no question that if you're able to call the restaurant yourself and pick up the food, that is the best way to support your local restaurant. But I think that's a little pie in the sky. That is not a solution that's going to work here. Because, again, these apps and the money that is spent by these corporations to change consumer behavior, that is not a quick fix to this problem.
Okay, but it does sound, Jeff, to kind of emphasize this point, that you think that customers are generally not all that educated about the fact that if they use a food delivery app, that it cuts really hard into the restaurant's margins. And that if they knew that, they might not use those apps. Is that how you feel, Jeff?
I'm leaning towards that. I believe it in for myself, yes. We're all educated, but it's just a matter of the convenience. And that's how they're surviving. The same thing, if you take it out of the restaurant industry and go to Amazon, it's a convenience. You don't have to go to the mall. You do just hop on Amazon. It's a convenience thing. So, you know, a lot of restaurants can't afford to not have them because of the exposure, especially when we're in total lockdown. You need the exposure. You need to survive. But your average customer, unless they really research it, like they did here, you go, well, why am I paying $35 for a $25 dish? Because... And then you explain the whole thing of we're getting charged 30%. We have to push the cost off to the customer.
Right, right. You're saying the average customer, complete that thought. The average customer, unless they research it, the average customer what?
Won't know. They're just ordering an app from your or ordering on their app from your restaurant.
They don't know how it affects you. Yeah.
Evan, one point on that. There was a community. Maybe it was Portland. Where one of the apps actually put a charge on the bill for customers once they implemented a fee cap, kind of a funny name, blaming the city for putting in this cap, saying, you know, look, you have to pay this extra $2 because your city did this. I have to be honest with you. To me, that's a more honest way of doing business. If these apps want to put a surcharge on there, and let you know this is what you're paying the app. To me, that's a way more honest way of doing business and letting customers know where their money's going, and then they can make informed choices.
Mike Kite, is a former Grubhub driver yourself, how do you see this issue?
Oh, this was a really good discussion. So I will say, you know, back when I did grow up for a few months when coronavirus first hit, because I was on a little bit of a furlough from work, and I figured this is a great way to keep busy and make some extra money. I went into it, and I didn't even think about any of this stuff. I think a lot of the drivers, at least back, you know, several months ago, this never even occurred to us. It was just a quick, easy way to make some money. You think it's a win-win. You know, you're helping these restaurants get the food out who can't open. You're helping customers get their food in a really easy way. You didn't really know the details. And I've just learned a lot, and I've heard from a lot of restaurant owners a lot of the same feedback that I'm hearing from both of you guys on the phone today. I will say I'm kind of split on it. The reason is I grew up in the restaurant industry. My grandparents owned and operated a restaurant for 40 years, had to close the business, and most of my aunts and uncles and cousins worked there, and that was devastating. And they closed it because of a shift in the market and a shift in consumers' tastes, and they couldn't keep up with the change and what was going on in the market. The other side of me is very much a free market person. You know, I'm very much of, you know, once people stop doing something, like once restaurants stop using a certain solution or customers stop using a certain solution to do a transaction, those fees will suddenly drop, and it's not going to happen overnight. But I'm very much about let's let the market decide. And I will say that I'm very much about less government regulation in all sorts of the economy than more government regulation. It's the same way with a car mechanic. If, you know, he does a transaction, he charges you $600 and rips you off, and it's horrible. You know, there's only so many times that person is going to be able to do that before they can stay open, because people talk, customers don't want to go there. Their competitors will do a better job and they will take over. And unfortunately, or fortunately, certain apps and certain technology have noticed a gap in the marketplace and said, hey, we know that the consumer is shifting towards instant, wanting it now, not wanting to talk to people. I mean, you look at the people texting, you look at people doing stuff online. That's where it's been going. That's why Toys R Us isn't here anymore. To your point about Amazon, Amazon did all the fulfillment for Toys R Us. Toys R Us didn't invest any money and capital into their website or the user experience, and could not keep up with the shift in consumer taste. And the market decided, you know, they couldn't stay open. And this isn't a big blanket statement or anything that I'm putting onto the restaurant industry in particular. I'm just saying in general, you know, once people stop using an app because they feel like it's egregious to the restaurant, and once restaurants stop signing up for the app, that app is going to either go away or it's going to have to change their business model.
Okay, let me ask Rachel, as a legislator, if you agree, because Mike is saying the market will sort this out if you educate people. What do you think, Rachel?
I think the problem is time. This is a temporary cap on the commission fees. And there are ways that you can get the results that we want. I think disclosure is another way. But we're running out of time. And to allow the market to sort itself out would be a years-long process. And, you know, I have very small restaurants, some storefront takeout places in my district that they don't have the resources to invest a lot in social media, to do a lot of the things that you would need to do to get people to call them and use their services. Now, you could say, and this is what DoorDash and Grubhub are arguing, look, our fees are for marketing. They're paying us so that they're visible. And then the question becomes, but is 30% per order, sort of that finder's fee, is that a reasonable amount? And what you start to do the math on this, and it doesn't make a lot of sense for the restaurants. So this fee, this cap is temporary to get us through a severe economic and public health crisis at a time we want to be encouraging people to do takeout. We want to encourage them to do delivery. We don't want to encourage dining in. And in many parts of our county right now, you can't dine in if you even wanted to. So I think this is a temporary solution to a longer term problem. Some places were doing the caps and looking at this issue before we entered this horrible crisis. These apps are huge corporations. They're predatory. I've been avoiding using the monopoly word, But, you know, that's what we're dealing with here. And they're consolidating because they want to strengthen their position in the market. So these are the forces that we're working against. This truly is small businesses versus these multi-billion dollar companies that have the resources to figure out consumer behavior. So I love the idea that we all call directly our local restaurants tonight to order takeout or delivery from them. But it's not that simple.
So let's do this here. Let me just let Mike respond, and then we're going to take our only break. And on the other side, we're just going to fly through a ton of questions that have come in about how this stuff works. But Mike, briefly, do you take Legislator Barnhart's point that even if you want to let the market sort this out, during this pandemic and with an orange zone designation, we're looking at a very grim few months that could permanently close, every bit of a margin matters, and that this legislation would be temporary? Does that move you at all?
It kind of does. I'll be honest. You know, I'm not hugely political, and I'm just I kind of am neutral on all these matters because I absolutely 50-50 can see both sides of any argument. You know, and I'm just this middleman guy. I don't even do it anymore. But it certainly has opened my eyes. A lot of the stuff that Ms. Barnhart shared on the call absolutely has given me more to think about. And I also think that at the same time, while time is running out, and this may be something that we need to do because of just the time factor. Part of me is also like, is this a slippery slope? Does this just open the door to more and more government regulation about all sorts of industries that are just feeling unfair and that the amount they're being taxed or feed by a third party or by a technology vendor isn't fair, and that the government needs to step in and cap it?
Yeah, it sounds like you're saying that every temporary tax becomes a permanent tax, every temporary regulation tends to become permanent, that if you could trust this would be temporary, you might be more on board and you could see the logic. You're just concerned about sort of the long term. Sorry, Mike, we don't allow for nuance or thoughtful evolution of opinion on this program. I appreciate all of those points. Let's do this. Let's get our only break of the hour. We're going to come back with Rachel Barnhart, a Monroe County legislator who has proposed legislation to temporarily cap the fees that delivery apps like Grubhub and DoorDash can charge because of the impact on restaurants that a lot of customers just don't know about. I mean, if you use Grubhub, you think, hey, cool, I'm supporting a local restaurant. I get the food delivered. No big deal. I'll use Grubhub. Well, 30% of that bill could be wiped out for restaurants, and all of a sudden, they're barely seeing much margin. And look, there's a lot of give and take here. Jeff Scott's the owner of Kano's Greek Restaurant. He's been sort of struggling with what to do about this and has had to make certain decisions on his own there. Mike Kite's a former Grubhub driver, and we've got your questions on the other side of this. Coming up in our second hour, with the stress of the holidays during a pandemic, adults have enough on their plates. Kids can sense when adults are stressed. Kids can sense when there is pain, loss, and kids are dealing with their own losses of playtime with friends, of visits with family, and more. We're going to talk about kids and mental health, looking out for children, next hour on Connections. This is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. CB says, I prefer to use Tock because they don't charge a commission fee to the restaurant. My sister-in-law owns a restaurant and recommended Tock. You pay a $3 fee per order, but the prices are the same if you order directly. Tock was founded by Grant Ashatz of Chicago restaurant Alinea. He and his partners created it specifically to be more fair to the restaurants. Rachel, Jeff, Mike, do you know about Tock? Is this a better option? Anybody know?
Never heard of it.
I don't know about it. I'm really, really pleased to hear about it. I'm going to look it up.
Tock, T-O-C-K. Mike Kite, have you heard of it?
No, I haven't.
Okay, so there's one to look up that is new to all of us. I mean, it certainly sounds like a credible source, but that's one that probably requires a little bit more research there. Some questions about tipping. So maybe, Mike, I'll start with you. People are asking, if I tip through the app here, who's getting this money?
Yes. So the way I understand it is, I'm thinking back that there's two kind of fees that me as a driver will see on my side of the app. My side of the app looks different than the customer side, and it probably looks different from the restaurant owner side. But on my side, I see a delivery charge, like a restaurant charge, and I see what the restaurant's being charged, and then I see a tip. The tip, as I understand it, is 100% going to the driver. The delivery fee, a portion of that goes to Grubhub, and a portion of that, I think it's a very small piece, maybe 15-20%, goes to the driver.
Okay, Rachel, does that line up with what you understand?
It does. I think, again, there needs to be a lot more transparency with the fees that we are paying. I think Berkeley, California, at one point discussed making the fees more transparent on the bill. I think that's one way to go about this, but I don't know that you would see necessarily immediate results in an outcome. And I just want to circle back on something about, you know, letting the market decide all of this. First of all, I think that would take years. But second, right now the market's going to put a lot of restaurants under. And so we need to decide as a community what we're going to do about that, if anything. You know, the federal government has not come forward with a stimulus for restaurants at this point, and we're asking them to be closed. It's a grossly unfair situation. They're closing their doors to keep us safe, and no one is helping them out. There's no cavalry coming right now. So we need to decide, is there something that we can do? Because the market will wipe them out. And so that's why I'm really hoping the Republicans on the Monroe County Legislature come to the table. Let's see if there is something legislatively that we can do involving these apps, which are very ubiquitous, which is what everyone is, many, many people are using to order their food. And I also call on the Republicans to not accept any money from campaign money from these major corporations, these apps, as well as their lobbyists. Let me tell you, the lobbyists have been circling since I introduced that proposal.
All right, let me keep working through feedback. Nicholas, listening in Clifton Springs on WEOS out of Geneva, says one legitimate function of local government is to act to protect the common person from the concentrated power of corporations when corporations express or demonstrate any express any sense of civic responsibility. And Nicholas is saying that Legislator Barnhart is right to want to act quickly here and not wait for market forces. Bob in Fairport says some restaurants appear to use the DoorDash system for order processing, even for pickup, and still inflate prices. Jeff Scott, I don't know about that. Do you?
Well, we haven't. We don't know what other restaurants do. But like here, when we don't allow pickup. When Kanos used to use it, as far as Kanos itself, yeah, we allowed for pickup and or delivery. On the pickup side, yeah, we save a little bit. But again, the prices are already inflated because we have to make up for the 30% they've taken.
Okay.
So, it's legit. Maybe what they're saying is because they had to pick it up. Well, you can't just pick. There's no way of us switching prices from pickup to delivery.
Go ahead, Rachel.
Yes. The legislation I introduced does tackle the issue of pickup. It would limit commission fees to 5% for pickup, but you better believe that these apps are taking a commission for pickup as well as delivery. So it's not just a delivery issue. I did ask Grubhub, listen, Are restaurants allowed to raise their prices to cover this horrible commission? They said they're not allowed to substantially change menu prices on the app compared to what you would get in the dining room. So I'm just throwing that out there as another way that restaurants are really constrained when using that service.
Teresa wants to know, are the fees the same if you use Grubhub or another app to order food for pickup? Does that increase the margin for restaurants versus just ordering delivery? I mean, I think there's a couple of questions in there. Mike, does that those questions make sense to you? Are the fees the same if you use Grubhub or another app to order food for pickup? It sounds like the question is, let me ask Rachel, are the fees all the same across apps?
No, they're not. My understanding is Grubhub is the 30%. That's their entry point. And as I said, I talked to one place that was able to get down to 28%. The other apps, my understanding is they're not quite as much, but 15% is pretty much as low as you could go. The other thing I want to say is, you know, Grubhub pretty much told me on the phone call with me, and on a list from the county was on the call with me. You know, I wanted to talk to them before I did this. And I said, look, tell me why we shouldn't do this. And one of the things they said to me was, we have all these tiered pricing, and we negotiate with restaurants so they can have all these different levels of service from us. And there, a lot of the fee that you're paying is for marketing. That's what they call marketing. The problem is when I went and talked to every single restaurant on Grubhub, none of them told me they had the option to negotiate or knew that they had the option to negotiate. And one restaurant says, oh, yeah, I was able to negotiate. I was able to take 2% off. So I thought that was very disingenuous. And frankly, after that conversation and I checked everything that they said, it made me more determined to try to do something here.
Well, James writes to say, I'll get James, let me try to squeeze in a phone call too. James says, Legislator Barnhart and the Democratic caucus gathered to announce the legislation at Three Heads, which is on Grubhub. Meanwhile, Other Half Brewing is not on Grubhub, and they will have a line of customers all day today. If businesses don't want to use these services, they don't have to, and many don't. This legislation is a bailout for companies that do not have a quality product or service. Rachel?
Well, every restaurant has to make its own decision on the value add here from these services. Obviously, some restaurants are finding that they have no choice. You know, the North Side Inn out in East Rochester, we're talking about older Italian guys who have had a restaurant for many, many years. They got on Grubhub. They said it's crucial to their business now. It's a catch-22 for many of these businesses. If you have a customer base that's going to pick a beer from you and you don't need to be on this app, that's fine. But in talking to Jeff Dale yesterday, he said there are people who are willing to pay more money to use the Grubhub app and order their beer and pick it up, then just call them and place an order because it's just that easy. So restaurants are faced with making a choice. And I can't stress this enough about consumer behavior. I cannot stress enough that consumer behavior has changed. It will continue to change. This is a disruptive technology, and we simply don't have a handle on it yet. And the big corporations do have the upper hand here. They do. They are the ones who are really driving a lot of what we are seeing in the marketplace. The big chains, McDonald's, Cheesecake Factory, they can negotiate great deals with these apps. They can negotiate in a way that the mom and pop restaurant cannot do, that Golden Fox in my district that they cannot do. They have to pay the 30%. So these fees are onerous and restaurants are making these terrible choices. And sure, we can have a really legitimate and thoughtful debate, an important debate about the role of government and in this. My point is, it's temporary. We are facing a dire crisis.
Sure.
And to allow all of these forces to work themselves out, we're going to come out of this at the end of 2021, because that's how long it's probably going to take. And our landscape will look very, very different, and we'll lose quite a bit, and a lot of people are going to be hurt.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to have a landscape of mostly chain restaurants if there isn't some kind of a change. And I'm not endorsing any specific legislation. I'm just being real with people. Last 30 seconds, let me give it to Jeff Scott and just ask you to respond to James, who said, hey, if you're offering a quality product, people will come to you whether you're on Grubhub or not.
All depends on where they live. All depends on if they're able to drive. I mean, there's a lot of things that drive this mechanism. So I don't agree with it. Do I have quality product here? Yes. Does it make a difference if it's on, they call the restaurant or Grubhub? You have a quality product, that's well and good. But if somebody can't get to your product, that's what they have a choice of doing, is going through the third-party apps. And just to circle back a little bit for what you said about...
Yeah, about 15 seconds. Keep it tight. Go ahead, Jeff.
Okay. Grubhub, Uber Eats, DoorDash don't have to pay gas and electric. Don't have to pay rent. Don't have to pay employees making the food. So you're taking that 30% away from us. It's taking away rent, gas and electric, telephone, computer, everything.
Well, Jeff is the owner of Kano's Creek Restaurant. Good luck to you and all of your colleagues in the industry. Jeff, let's stay in touch. Thanks for being with us.
We appreciate it. Thank you.
Mike Kite, such a thoughtful set of opinions from Mike, a former Grubhub driver. Thank you for being with us again, Mike.
You're welcome.
Rachel Barnhart, a Monroe County legislator. Keep us apprised of this. Thank you, Rachel.
Will do. Thanks.
All right. More connections coming up.